Mildred gasped as they turned a corner and came upon a road that was long and unobstructed. Michaela joined Mildred in setting up the light aluminum wheel supports of the stretcher gurney, allowing JB to touch the ground once again. Mildred massaged her aching forearms.
It feels like we've lapped this damn city at least twice.
Oh. Yeah, well, you know who to blame for that.
Mildred inclined her head toward Bones, who was still walking in advance of them. At Mildred's whistle, the old man stopped and looked back peevishly, peering through his thick-lensed spectacles.
Come on, come on, we don't have time to waste. You yourself said as much.
Get back here! We've got a few things we need to do before we go any farther.
She could almost hear the old man sigh as he trotted back, and not for the first time she thought about how like Doc he could be. For a second, it crossed her mind that Dean would have got a kick out of the crotchety old guy, and she felt the pang of loss. But she dismissed the thought almost immediately. There were more pressing concerns to be dealt with. As soon as they had emerged from the tunnel mouth, they were up and running, almost literally. Bones had given the all clear, and the two women had snapped the wheels on the gurney, lifting the armorer to take his weight as they made their way into the ruined city. The rubble at the fringe of the ruins had been built up by Ethan's Sekhmen to form a kind of wall that would keep anything in the city at bay. The ruins that had occupied the now cleared space between the Ville walls and the area where the tunnel emerged had been piled high to form this barrier, and although it may also give a savvy Sek army cover from which to mount a siege, all it did for any hostile wildlife or muties like Stickies was to provide a platform they would have to scale before being silhouetted against the sky as easy targets for the blaster posts on the Ville wall. The rubble barrier formed in this way extended for about 100 yards. It was uneven and treacherous underfoot, and as Bones sped across it, Michaela and Mildred found it difficult to keep a firm and even footing while keeping JB's stretcher level. Their progress was slow, and on top of the rubble, with their hands occupied with the stretcher, they were easy targets for anyone that may return to the blaster emplacement before they were clear of the area. They were also easy pickings for anything that may lurk within the ruined city, waiting to attack. In theory, Bones should be acting as lookout and point for them, covering them with his own blaster. But somehow Mildred doubted if the old man would be much good. He was too far in front and seemed too self-absorbed to notice what was happening behind him. It was almost as though he had rediscovered his youth, skipping over the ruins like a child. She couldn't even call out to him to get him to come back to act as point man. There was a deathly silence over the ruins, and every footfall sounded loud and disruptive as they progressed in a haphazard manner over the rubble. Mildred cast a few glances back toward the walls of Pleasantville and could see that the emplacements were still empty. She tried not to think of the hunt, but the knowledge of what was occurring weighed heavily. When she had JB back on his feet, they would go back for their comrades, and if vengeance was their only recourse, they would have it. It was hard to stop to take a look back at the Ville, as Michaela had always been at her heels, head down, pushing onward, and muttering to herself to give her the courage to keep going. The young healer had no stomach for danger, but was pushing herself to her limits. While this was admirable, it did make Mildred a little anxious as to how soon it would be before the girl would snap. They were over the rubble barrier and down onto the streets of the old city in what seemed like slow motion. But once they were there, Mildred was able to breathe more easily. They still had to carry the stretcher, as the old roads were strewn with rubble and debris, making it impossible to wheel the gurney. But at least the ground underfoot was surer, and they were able to move more swiftly. Bones was away from them, and there was little doubt that he knew where he was headed. But Mildred was concerned that they would lose track of the old man. He was around corners before they had a chance to catch him, darting back only to hurry them on. He seemed to have no sense of caution about the terrain and its possible perils, only a desire to move quickly. Mildred, on the other hand, had her hands full. There was a blanket of silence over the ruins and little indication that any muties, either human, sticky, or animal, lived in the rubble. Neither were there any birds overhead or the distant sound of birdsong. In fact, it was as though nothing were alive in the ruins. Nothing wished to live here. And Mildred knew from bitter experience that this usually meant that there was danger of some sort. The wildlife of the Deathlands was hardy and adaptable, and for it to shy away from an area meant that it could sense danger with a surety few humans possessed. It was a relief when they hit the plain old blacktop, uncluttered by debris, more than just a relief at resting her aching arm muscles. As they rested momentarily, Bones turned back and came toward them.
I thought you were in a hurry. This is no time to stand around idling.
Mildred, her patience at an end, grabbed him by his jacket as he came within range and pulled him up against her.
Listen, old man. There used to be an old saying, the more haste, the less speed, and it's never been truer. We're tired, we need to rest our muscles so that we'll be of some use if we have to fight, and I want you to stop acting like a little kid and tell me where the hell we're going.
She let the old man loose, and he stumbled backward, looking at her with a mixture of surprise and fear.
There's no need to be like that. You only had to say...
Mildred gritted her teeth. Hell, Doc Tanner was never this bad. Michaela looked around at the remains of the buildings along the road. Most were 3- or 4-story blocks made of brownstone that had been ravaged by the chemstorms, the shape of the building facades eaten away, glassless windows gaping emptily down at them. The ground level of each frontage had once been a store of some kind, the interiors now devoid of anything that would give clues to their previous life. The damage looked as though it had been caused by fire, and was unlike any they had seen so far. It also looked recent, which was a cause for concern. Michaela nervously indicated the storefronts.
What do you reckon did that?
I don't know. Do you know anything about this, Bones?
Doubt if it was any of our people. We haven't really used this part of the old city. Nothing here that's worth the taking. And firing the old buildings is too stupor even the dumbest of the sect that gets sent here. What if it caught and spread through the whole of the ruins? All our scavenging would be gone.
I was afraid you'd say that. That means that someone or something else is responsible for this. We better keep our eyes and ears open, triple red and stay frosty, and let's hope we don't have to carry John any farther. The longer we can keep him on wheels, the more easy it'll be to defend ourselves.
I'll second that.
Michaela checked the blaster that Mildred had given her back in Pleasantville. It seemed a lifetime ago. Sobered by the thought that something unknown might be lurking in wait for them, Bones kept closer to Mildred and Michaela as they began to pilot JB's stretcher gurney along the blacktop. In the distance, Mildred could see the skeletal remains of tower blocks and skyscrapers, like rotten teeth in a skull, brokenly thrusting their jagged shapes into the afternoon sky. As they progressed through the old streets, she turned to Bones.
How the hell do you manage to salvage anything from here? It looks like it's been totally destroyed by the new cost.
You'd think that, wouldn't you, to look at it? But a lot of the damage was either on the taller buildings or on the area surrounding when bits of them started to fall. This city developed in a little more of a haphazard pattern than others in the old states.
His smile grew broader as he noted Mildred's look of astonishment.
Oh, yeah. I know what this land used to be like. You didn't really get to see the vast amount of material I've amassed. You and your friends wouldn't recognize it. It must have been good to be alive in those times.
He continued, little realizing how much Mildred would agree with him.
And sometimes I wish... But no, I must stick to the point. There were older areas of this city where the buildings had not yet been torn down and replaced with the tall ones like those.
He indicated the ghostly skyscrapers with a gesture that was almost dismissive.
Buildings that were more attractive and must have been nicer to live in, but no matter. The point is that these smaller areas suffered less damage, and it's from them that the most amount of material has been saved.
How did it survive? I've seen old cities with lower-level developments that haven't yielded so much.
Some of it is chance, and we shall never know. Some of it is because places like the old hospitals we're headed for were designed to withstand a new cost. They were low-level, but reinforced, with basement levels that were almost miraculously untouched. And they have an unconventional power source.
Mildred pondered this. She couldn't work out the name of the old city they were in, as she wasn't sure of their exact location. Without a map, and knowing how the years of nuclear winter had changed the coastline, it was almost impossible. But out in the northwest, they were less likely to get a direct nuke hit, and perhaps it was possible that such areas would be developed as fallback and support areas in the case of war. It was just a shame that no one had truly thought through the consequences of a nuclear winter. She looked around at the devastation, made all the more stark by the silence in which it was shrouded. A shiver passed over her, as though someone were walking across her already dug and filled grave.
Ugh, let's get to it. We don't have time to be standing around here talking like a lot of fools.
Taking their lead from Bones, who set off at a more reasonable speed after observing how they had to steer the gurney around the rubble, Mildred and Michaela pulled the armor along the old blacktop. The old man took the streets as though he had been walking them all his life, which he very nearly had, as he had been exploring the ruins on and off from a very young age. His eyesight may not be as good as it once had been, but he still knew every twist and turn of the old city and seemed to be almost on automatic pilot as he negotiated the ruins. Mildred scanned the surrounding wreckage as they progressed from the area of old brownstones to a development of squat, gray concrete blocks that looked scorched but otherwise untouched by the ravages of the years. Here there was more rubble strewn across the sidewalks and roadway, and she and Michaela had to lift the stretcher to negotiate some parts of the thoroughfare. Each time they lifted the gurney and were unable to lay hands on their weapons for that split second, Mildred felt ill at ease and was relieved when they were able to put JB back down on the deck. There was something about the silence in the ruins that was ominous. All other ruins she had visited with the companions had been colonized, either by man or by wildlife of some kind. Why was this different? But there wasn't much time to dwell on this as they moved out of the low-level buildings and into the central section, which consisted of the old tower blocks and skyscrapers. Here, the wreckage was strewed all over the streets, made worse by the passage of time, and it was so dense that they had to carry JB all the way.
Hey, Bones! Do we have to go this way? Can't we skirt around this section?
The old man stopped and looked back at her, a mild bemusement coloring his features.
But I thought you wanted to get there quickly. The center of the old city is quite large, you know. If we went around the edges, it would take more time than we have, or at least than you guess we have.
Mildred cursed to herself. The old man was right. If cutting across this central section saved time, this was what they had to do. But all the same, a creeping uneasiness was inching its way up her spine.